as Howard said, focuses on teaching and learning with Rich Media. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the project that we've mounted under the sponsorship of the university's Office of Academic Affairs. First of all, how many of you are familiar with iTunes? Okay. How many of you are familiar with iTunes U and know what it is? Okay. Well, let me just take a few seconds for those of you who don't know. iTunes U is actually a service provided by Apple Computer. It's a storage and distribution system provided to universities for Rich Media. Rich Media being defined as audio and video files of certain formats, as well as PDF files in this case. So Apple provides this to colleges and universities at no cost. And what is it used for? Basically, it's used for two purposes, and CUNY is using it in both of these ways. One, it's used as a general vehicle for communicating to our various publics information that we want people to know about the college and the university, our colleges and universities. Many of our colleges and the university itself do have public iTunes U sites. Others are underway. However, the focus of our talk today is on the other purpose of Rich Media and iTunes U, and that is the application to classroom teaching. A little bit about what iTunes is, what it will, and what it won't do. It won't allow you, or it won't help you to compose or edit Rich Media. It's not a sound editing system like Audacity. It won't edit video like GarageBand, and it won't allow you to touch up your photographs like Photoshop. Won't make you stronger. Won't make you wiser. And it won't bring you luck. But what it will do is it will allow you to access Rich Media content for your educational and teaching purposes directly through Blackboard. So one of the givens of the application of iTunes U for teaching and learning is that the access to the content is for the benefit of the faculty and the students of the institution. It's not generally available to the public at large. So in order to protect access and also to direct access in the proper manner, we integrate it with Blackboard through a single sign-on mechanism. And by signing on to your course in Blackboard, you will automatically have access to the audio, video, and PDF files that a faculty member has uploaded for that class. And the files are stored within iTunes U. So Apple provides each school or each institution with up to 500 gigabytes of storage. In addition to which, if you want to store some media back at the school on servers at your college, you can do that as well and put up indicators back to those files on iTunes U. That's a double-edged sword in the sense that you're not using up iTunes U storage, but in order to get at those files, you come through the university network. So there could be additional traffic on the network. You can actually fit within those 500 gigabytes thousands of audio and video files. Precisely how many obviously depends on the mix of these files, how long they are, the quality of the files, but generally speaking, with a 50-50 mix, you should be able to store thousands of audio and video files on an iTunes U site. One of the other capabilities of the iTunes U system is it leverages the iTunes desktop application for Macs and Windows PCs. So this is how you get at those files, those audio and video files, on your course site. Okay? And, of course, one of the advantages, since you're using the iTunes application to bring it down to your PC or Mac, one of the advantages is that you can load it on your iPod or other MP3 or multimedia player and take the content with you. A lot of our students commute, but you can take it wherever you go. Okay, so when we announced the project under the sponsorship of CUNY's Office of Academic Affairs, there were a number of things that we hoped to achieve. One, we knew that there was a lot of experimentation going on across the campuses. And we wanted to leverage that experimentation and bring it into a project in a way so that we could surface and understand what technologies were being used, what methods were being used, etc. So we identified this project as a pilot project, purposely calling it a pilot, because a pilot, by definition, is something that you use to experiment with. Progress doesn't always go in a straight line. You'll make mistakes, you'll learn from those mistakes, and you'll be able to define best practices, optimal uses of technologies, and most importantly, in this particular instance, you'll be able to identify those pedagogical constraints or those pedagogical issues that bear upon the use of audio and video in asynchronous learning. So, those were the kinds of things that the project was meant to deal with. When we formed the project, we formed teams on each of the campuses. And each of these teams consisted of a team leader through whom communication was directed. In addition, there were representatives from academic or instructional computing, IT organizations, Centers for Excellence in Teaching and Learning. We had faculty involvement. So there were a number of organizations around the campus that came together to collaborate on this. More than that, we implemented methodologies, and I'll talk about that in a little while, that allowed us or encouraged people on campus to collaborate with others on other campuses. So rather than staying in your own little silo on campus, we encourage people to share across campuses. And in so doing, engender a collaboration which we hoped would be an example of a rising tide lifting all boats. Okay, thank you. Now, the project itself had 17 campuses that participated in it, and two have since joined. So we had 19 campuses participating in this pilot project, and it's still a pilot. At the current time, we've sort of suspended a lot of the activities that we have planned because of the upgrading of the learning management system, Blackboard 8, development on a new building block, which will integrate with Blackboard 8 and bring iTunes U with the new Blackboard system together so that that linkage I spoke about before is achieved on the new Blackboard platform. But you can see with so many campuses involved, distributed geographically, it would have been very difficult to establish that level of collaboration and communication that we hope to achieve. So we employed some tools. Okay? One of those tools was a wiki. Now, many of you probably know what a wiki is. You've probably contributed to wikis. But over 200 people who were involved across all the campuses were allowed access to this wiki. The wiki is on the internet. It's freely accessible over the internet, but only those who are assigned or working in the project can update and edit it. So if you go to wiki.itunesu.cuny.edu, I have a handout at the end of the session which will tell you some more about the program and give you this information. You'll see a whole host of information, from technical to pedagogical, specific issues relating to Blackboard iTunes U integration, iTunes U technical information, legal considerations, copyright issues that pertain to teaching and learning as opposed to public usage of podcasting or iTunes U. Beyond the wiki, we have two discussion groups, one for the public use of iTunes U and one for the teaching and learning or academic use of iTunes U. And again, these are Google groups. They're private. They are not accessible over the internet except by those who are participating in the project. And this is another way of sharing information. I should say, at the conclusion of phase one of the pilot, 9 of the 17 campuses presented their projects, which were applications of audio and video in teaching and learning situations. These presentations were facilitated in a virtual session using WebEx to webcast these sessions throughout the 17 campuses. Not only that, but we were able to record and save these sessions so that those who were not available to view them at the time they were given could view them on demand. So this is another tool that was used to facilitate the collaborative nature and communication of the project. Just a recap. CUNY signed an agreement with Apple concerning iTunes U. This agreement was novel. Up to that time, schools, whether they were university systems like the University of California or SUNY, had individual campuses signed up for iTunes U. And each campus got one iTunes U site for academic purposes as well as for public purposes. So they had to jury-rig that site in certain ways to make certain parts of it accessible to students and faculty and other parts accessible to the general public. With respect to CUNY, all of the campuses were signed up initially. In addition to which, each campus receives two iTunes U sites, one public, one academic. This was a recognition that sometimes on certain campuses, the organization and administration of these two sites are very different. The academic and learning site often is under the jurisdiction of the Office of the Provost, whereas the public site is often under the administrative jurisdiction of the Office of Public Communications or Media Relations, or sometimes Institutional Advancement. The pilot was launched in December. I'm sorry, the academic pilot was launched in December of 2007. And as I said, 17 campuses signed up. We were able to integrate Blackboard with both in the stage element of Blackboard, as well as production. Just recently in September, we launched four public sites, the University, Lehman, Borough of Manhattan Community College, and Baruch. With that, this is the site that was set up specifically for this presentation, and this is the iTunes U site that we'll be using for this presentation. And now I'll turn it over to Albert Robinson, who's the coordinator of instructional technology at Bronx Community College, and Albert will talk about the integration documentation he's put together, as well as faculty support. I'll just get your